The Huge Lightning Comedy Festival is back for a second year from April 20th through 22nd. Organizers and married couple Hope and Jordan Haynes will once again be bringing a wide variety of comedians, as well as musicians and other performers, together for a weekend of fun in Fayetteville. Haynes studied drama at the University of Arkansas before moving to Chicago to work with comedy groups there. He then moved back to Fayetteville, where he has started the company Rough House Comedy Collective. He said the idea for the festival started with his love for both cities and desire to promote a growing comedy and improv scene here.
We met a lot of great people, did a lot of fun work in the comedy scene in Chicago, and knew when we were coming back to Fayetteville that we would love to sort of bridge the gap between those two super cool art and comedy scenes. And so we had an idea to start a festival, and last year was a Friday and Saturday, and it was jam-packed with improv and music and art and all kinds of cool stuff, mostly featuring a lot of younger Chicago performers and then a lot of local and regional acts. And that's kind of the same thing that we're doing this year. We're just keeping the dream alive. We've got Ashley Nicole Black from Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. She's a writer and contributor for that show. She's also the coolest, smartest person. She's going to be teaching an improv workshop for us on Saturday. And that's open to really anyone. It'll fill up fast. And then she'll also be jumping in on some improv. But we've also got a lot of groups from Chicago, some improv groups coming into town, great solo performers, and then featuring a ton of different local and regional talent.
Local improviser Thomas Hunter and Erica Wilhite, who is the artistic director for Artist Lab Theater, also joined Jordan Haynes in the KUAF studio to speak about their upcoming performances and excitement about the festival. Hunter is a member of the improv troupe Rodeo Book Club, which has been performing for about 2.5 years.
Super fun to be able to see the other improvisers and comedians coming from Chicago and New York. It's something you don't really get to see a lot of around here. It's a rare opportunity, I feel, and I'm very grateful to the out-of-town performers to come here to so that I can see this stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's a great little, Mitch, I'm just going to piggyback on that. Not only is it like a cool opportunity for our audiences to see these people from Chicago, and then also all the best comedic talent that we have from Arkansas, but it's also a great chance for these groups to meet each other and meet these other performers that are doing their thing out in different cities.
And I'm really excited because being in the audience last year, I will second what you said about like the value of this festival is great. As a performing artist and as a person, an artist in this community, I'm really grateful that you're going to all this trouble because I know it's a total, it's a total hassle to bring all of this together.
But it's a real drag. It's terrible.
But it is it's elevating comedy to a new level, I think, for us.
Will Height, who also has a show on KUAF called Sunday Night Service, works mostly with experimental theater, handcrafting original performances, which often result in an immersive novel experience for the audience. This year, the Artist Lab Theater is partnering with Rough House Comedy to bring Bango to the festival. Bango is a bingo-style theater game, as Will Hyde explains.
It is a piece of theater. It's actually potentially 40 pieces of theater. It's a theater bingo game called Bango. And we, the ensemble of five artists, created these 40 pieces, and the audience plays a game of bingo, and we play the correlating scenes, and you get a random, fresh performance every night. And this will be the fourth time we've done it this spring. And so you can, if you've already seen Bango, you can come and see it again, which is part of the fun because it's going to be a totally different night.
Tell them, a handful of props that you could potentially see. You could potentially see in Bango, which Bango, by the way, is can't miss. You got to see Bango. It's crazy. There is nothing else like it in town. It is Erica, what she's done with the Artist Laboratory Theater is so cool, and this show is the best. But some props that you might see in a random Bango show might be pool noodles, a bunch of tea light candles, a guitar.
Chicken costume.
Yeah, a chicken costume. A Twinkie. An air horn. There are the whole show is basically just a thousand props. Each piece has
been designed and rehearsed like a piece of theater, and it might be 7 seconds or it could be 7 minutes, but that's the maximum. And we went through the process. It took a while, but we had to tech all of that. We had to rehearse all of that. And there will be nights we may never, because of math, we may never see some of those pieces ever. But we have to be ready if there's a perishable prop. Got to make sure that lettuce is fresh because Jordan might have to eat it.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a minute ago, Thomas, about that you don't see a lot of this around here as far as comedy. But I think you're specifically referring to improv. And if you guys can talk a little bit about how the improv community has grown around here or just comedy in general.
Yeah. This city is booming in so many ways. We have so many different cool things happening. There's been a stand-up scene for a while, and the improv scene really has been, I don't know, it's been happening. There's been some things going on. It's not, what's the best way to say this?
I mean, I don't know. Rodeo Book Club's been having shows monthly, and every show it just feels like there's just more and more people coming out, which is a really nice thing. It feels like there's just more and more energy behind improv and comedy in general here in Fayetteville.
And different kinds of improv, too. Like Rodeo Book Club does a very specific thing. They do long-form improv where they're taking maybe a suggestion or two or some sort of inspiration at the top of their show, and then they weave an entire series of scenes or like an improvised play. And then you've got groups that have also been around for a long time, like Funbags Comedy Improv, I believe is the technical term. That's with a PH. But they've been doing a lot of short form around town and been super popular for a long time and just killing it in the short form game. But that's more like what people might think of when they think of improv, like Whose Line Is It Anyway kind of stuff. There's different kinds of improv that are happening and that are happening on a more regular basis. But the cool thing is these groups from Chicago are doing long form and very different and very specific kinds of long form improv in Chicago. And they've been doing it very well for a very long time on a much more consistent basis than we do it here.
And they have like different formats than we have. Like if anybody has seen Rodeo Book Club, but we have kind of a loose, a real loose style, but there are people that are coming in that could have like a very structured format of what they have to improvise around, which is a thing I want to see, a thing I'm excited about.
This is an interesting conversation for me as a theater producer. We do not produce improv. I enjoy it from an audience's point of view, but it is wild sometimes, like wildly creative. And what I enjoy about improv when it's done, when it's executed, and when it's successfully executed, is that there's so many what seems to be arbitrary formulas to like these instructions or these games, but what like the magical things that happen within the constraints of a rule, an object, an audience suggestion. And there's like this total risk that improvisers take that as a theater artist, I want to like, I hope I may, I continue to do in performance, but they have to. It is an exercise of, like, as a performer, of courage and instinct and wit, and it's good for you. So anyway,
hey, it is good for you. Okay, it is good for you. If there is anything that like we want the festival to feel like, it's the feeling of like risk and fun and excitement, so all those things that are so fun to watch when an improv group is working really well, and there's this like fun, dangerous sort of living right on the edge, tight wire act. We want the whole festival to kind of feel like that, where it's the audience is on the edge of their seat. They don't know what's coming next, and they don't know really what to expect with the next act. And hopefully what they get out of it is just a super fun weekend.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah.
The Huge Lightning Comedy Festival will take place April 20th through 22nd at the Path Outfitters on the Fayetteville Square. The complete lineup can be found at hugelightning.com. Tickets for each event range from $10 to $15 and can be purchased on the website. For KUAF Arts Beat, this is Ashton Ely. Find this story online at our website, KUAF.com. And keep up with us using the hashtag KUAFArtsBeat.
Music from Olafur Arnalds off his album Island Songs. That's the final track. It's called Doria. I'm Katie Henriksen. You're listening to Of Note on 91.3 KUAF. Special guest in the studio with me, Stephen Bias, conductor of the Arkansas Philharmonic, who is collaborating with the Northwest Arkansas Ballet Theater in their latest event. It's a production of Carnival of the Animals. Stephen is joined by Executive Director and Artistic Director of the Northwest Arkansas Ballet Theater, Margie Bordofsky. Let's hear a little bit more about how this all came together.
This company was founded in 2011 and has quickly become one of the region's leading dance companies. And we've been talking about it for about 3 years to try and create a collaboration, and we chose The Carnival of the Animals by Camille Saint-Saëns with all of its movements and different characters is the perfect vehicle to feature this dynamic ballet company. And the executive director of the company, who is also the artistic director of this new stage production we're doing of Carnival of the Animals, is here. Margie Bordofsky was so kind to agree to collaborating, and we're delighted to collaborate with her and to have her here today.
Thank you, Stephen. like he said, started 3 years ago. This had been in my mind for about a decade that I wanted to do this. It went back to my childhood of my mother bringing home Leonard Bernstein's album, Carnival of the Animals, and that's what I listened to every night before I went to bed. And I had all these images dancing in my head. And then the first time I ever saw ballet was they had a – I grew up on college campuses. My dad was a college basketball coach, lived in the dorms. So we periodically had guests come in to perform at the colleges. And this one was a professional ballet dancer who did The Dying Swan, which is part of Carnival of the Animals, which meant I spent the next 2 years in my bedroom trying to make my arms flowy and flexible like the dancer. But as soon as we had the company together in 2011, this kept coming back in my mind. And we attended the Philharmonic's concert and went to the director's talk. It was the first time I'd been to the director's talk, and I heard Stephen speak with such passion for the history, and he had the love for the music, and I leaned over and told my husband, that's my Leonard Bernstein. So I cornered Stephen after the concert and just put a bug in his ear about maybe this being a possibility. 3 years later, here we are. There are two pieces, the aquarium scene. I think everyone will have a fit over. There is someone in costume. The one costume used 32 yards of white silk from China.
One costume.
One costume.
That's amazing.
And it was based and inspired by Loie Fuller, who was, she called herself a dancer, although she really had never had any training. Didn't make it over here, but went over to Paris and became a big sensation and is actually considered a pioneer of modern dance. It's done with a lot of fabric and a lot of beauty, and I knew that was the first thing I knew I wanted to do. That was going to be in Carnival. And then the other thing we're doing of historical value is The Dying Swan. We are using the original choreography by Fokine that was set on Anna Pavlova. So that beauty will come back to life. I think that everything came together beautifully, and I'm eager to see it with the orchestra all together.
A real event. I describe it as an event, but the collaborative nature of what we do and the exchange of our art forms and collaboration of our art forms is it's my personal mission. And just hearing you talk about the swan gives me an idea. I'll wait to write this down on my paper until the interview is over. But what a great thing to use music to transfer to body movement for children. Mm-hmm. And this, I'm always choosing slower works to try and get them to move in a flowing fashion, but that's the most beautiful. And the aquarium also, the aquarium and the swan will be great pieces for children. But this is what we do, is that we foster the exchange of ideas, not just by collaborating with arts organizations, but it strengthens a community because we bring together the organizations, which bring together audiences that wouldn't necessarily attend a program together. We raise the awareness of what's going on in our cities, our local communities, the region. So everything about this is something I'm proud of. So the Arkansas Philharmonic is dedicated to doing this, but this will be the first of many collaborations I have.
Yes, I feel like, you know, we have this wonderful orchestra, this wonderful professional ballet company here, and we can do great things. But coming together on something like this just shows the community that we can do a beautiful event that is even bigger than just the sum of our individual parts.
Yeah. Now, how many dancers will be performing?
I'm using 7 dancers in this show. Lots of very fast changes. Some of the music segments, I think Zebras is 33 seconds long. So the choreography actually was a little challenging because the segments are so short. And so to try to put some dynamic moves in such a short period and bring to life the animal in it.
You're making the costumes. And
you're
talking about your house and all the feathers.
I'm a control freak. I love designing costumes. And it's hard for me to turn that aspect over to someone else, and people offer to help, but a lot of it is I get pictures in my head, and then I go get things, and I create it as I go. And then we put it on the dancers, and you have to consider, okay, what's the choreography for this piece? before you can design the costume, because you have to know their movements. That dictates the type of fabric you use or how it's cut. The peacock actually ended up being very interesting because we started with this long flowing tail and it kept getting tangled up in her legs. So I actually built a birdcage bustle.
Nice.
So, you know, just adds a little bit of maybe Art Nouveau in there too.
I like it.
Yeah. We wanted the costumes to look beautiful and spectacular, but I never want the costume to detract from the simple beauty of the movements of the dancer. It made such an impression on me seeing that one ballet piece as a child and listening to the orchestra. So we didn't have a lot of money to go to things. But so that made such an impression on me. And I feel like, oh, if we can get the kids in here, although it wasn't written directed toward kids necessarily, it's not a kiddie show, I feel like it can just inspire someone. I want it to inspire like it inspired me.
That's a great suggestion. Our concerts, sometimes the nature of the concerts are not suited for young children, not because it's not appropriate, but because it doesn't engage them on an intellectual or an emotional level like some of the more serious music that we do. But this concert, especially because we have members of the youth orchestra, some of whom are really quite young, and the collaboration.
And they're so good.
Oh, they're terrific. And with the dancers and seeing the visual aspects of the dancing, the costumes, and then the orchestra being on stage with this, it's just a hybrid combination that's very accessible for concertgoers of all ages. So I want to encourage families to bring their children to this program. This collection of works in the Carnival of the Animals are, as Margie said, they're really quite short, but strung together with this narrative, which makes it work so well. The pieces on the first half of the program, really not very long either, is really great for adults and children. So I want to encourage our listeners to bring their children to this performance. I think they'll really enjoy it.
It should be interesting. The actor that plays Mr. Sniggle Fritz, I always tell him, you're my Robin Williams. I never know what he's going to do or say. He may tweak something in the script, but he is quite the character, and we had a hard time keeping a straight face during rehearsals with him because he just is so funny. I think that'll make that fun for kids and adults.
Well, thanks so much. What an exciting collaboration.
Thank you, Katie.
Arkansas Philharmonic Music Director Stephen Bias, Artistic Director, Executive Director of the Northwest Arkansas Ballet Theater, Margie Bordofsky, all about their upcoming collaboration in Camille Saint-Saëns' Carnival of the Animals. I'm Katie Henriksen. You're listening to Of Note on 91.3 KYF. That concert, that performance, concert and performance, takes place at the Aaron Arts Center in Bentonville this Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Now, if you'd like more information on tickets, arphil.org, you can also call 479-841-4644. Sona, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, continues its 62nd season April 29th at Walton Arts Center. Under the baton of Maestro Paul Haas, Sona performs works from Schumann and Rodrigo and will feature the world premiere of Pranayama by American composer and classical guitarist David Leisner. Tickets available at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org. Ahead of this weekend's Arkansas Philharmonic concert and collaboration with Northwest Arkansas Ballet Theater, how about we listen to that Leonard Bernstein rendering of Saint-Saëns' Carnival of the Animals. We'll turn to the entirety of that piece right now, featuring the New York Philharmonic under Leonard Bernstein. Leonard Bernstein serves as narrator here.
My dear young friends, music has lots of different uses in life. There are pieces that lift your spirit or interest your mind or fill you with religious or passionate or dreamy or triumphant feelings. But some pieces are written only to amuse you. And one of them is this Carnival of the Animals by the charming and masterful French composer Saint-Saëns. For one thing, it's a sort of loony fantasy about the zoo, full of amusement and frolic. And although it was written by Saint-Saëns mainly to amuse his friends, it was also partly intended to give young music students something to play that might be fun instead of always that serious grind. So we thought, as long as this is true, why not invite young people to come and play it with us? And that's what we've done. We have asked 7 very talented youngsters to join us in this zoological romp. Of course, the main orchestra is the string section of the Philharmonic, old fogies, but everyone else that you will hear is a specially invited youthful artist. The main soloists of the piece are a 2 piano team who get a lot of work to do in this carnival. They are the lovely identical twins, Ruth and Naomi Siegel, 21 years old, apiece. Now to start things off, our twin pianists join the string orchestra in the overture, which is a look at the lion. After all, most visits to the zoo begin with the lion, and since the lion is the king of beasts, Saint-Saëns has written what he calls a royal march, complete with trumpet-like fanfares and a good deal of roaring, all made by strings and pianos. We now make 2 visits in a row. First, to a flock of hens and roosters, whose cackling I'm sure you'll recognize. To make this barnyard music, the strings are joined by our clarinet soloist, the mighty 13-year-old Paul Green. Then we'll move to a cage of wild donkeys from Tibet, called Emyon in French, or Hemyons in English, and otherwise known in Tibetan, or whatever it is, as Jigetai, Kyang, or Gur. But whatever you call them, they are especially famous for their speed. They seem to be flying, as you'll hear when the 20 fingers of our twins fly over the keys at an unbelievable rate. So here are first the chickens, then the wild donkeys. Thank you. In his next two visits, Saint-Saëns begins to make private musical jokes. And just so that you'll get them, I'll let you in on the secret. In the first one, he wants to describe turtles and tortoises. And what better way to poke fun at these slow-moving critters than to use the fastest music he can think of? So he borrows this racy can-can tune from Offenbach's opera, Orpheus in the Underworld. You all know that famous tune. Well, he takes it and simply slows it down to a stupefied crawl, and out crawl the turtles. In this next piece, which is about the elephant, Saint-Saëns does the same kind of tricky switch he did with the turtles. He picks two of the lightest, most fairy-like tunes he can think of and just gives them to the heavy old double basses to play. One tune is this delicate melody from The Dance of the Sylphs by Berlioz. And the other is from the light-footed scherzo of Mendelssohn's Midsummer Night's Dream. Perfect elephant music, isn't it? But wait till you hear it played by our double basses. Delicate little wee folk, aren't they? But now we hop over to the kangaroo department, again featuring our twin pianos. And now we go to the aquarium, where the water is described for us by trickling runs on the pianos in the style of Chopin. While the gliding of the fish is pictured for us by a smooth melody in the strings and flute. The flute, by the way, is played by a greatly gifted young lady of 20, Miss Paula Robeson. There are also a few extra drops of water that sprinkle off the little bells, or glockenspiel, which is played by the 14-year-old David Hoppe. Actually, Saint-Saëns wrote this part for a harmonica, not what we call a harmonica these days, which is a mouth organ, but a glass harmonica, which was a very popular instrument in the last century, kind of like a set of water glasses that produce different tones depending on the amount of water in them. Have you ever tried that trick at the dinner table? I used to all the time, which didn't please my mother too much. Anyway, this old instrument has disappeared from polite musical society, and so we shall hear these watery little notes played on the glockenspiel instead. And now we're all set for our visit with the fish. Our next two visits need no musical explanation at all. First, Saint-Saëns takes us to a cage marked Persons with Long Ears, meaning donkeys, of course, but I think he had in mind certain people he knew that he considered jackasses. This hee-hawing music is played only by violins. But then we come to the cuckoo, singing his monotonous two notes over and over again. And that will be the mighty Master Green again on the clarinet, while the two pianos play rather cuckoo harmonies of their own. So now first the jackass, then the cuckoo. On to the birdhouse, where every kind of bird imaginable is whirling and wheeling around. This is a real acrobatic act for our gifted young flute player, Paula Robeson. Now Saint-Saëns turns to a very peculiar animal indeed, called the pianist. This is a not very subtle takeoff on poor young piano students who are grinding away at their scales and exercises. Any of you who have ever had to sweat through piano exercises will sympathize with these animals, I'm sure. Now we shall have a look at some fossils, the skeleton remains of old prehistoric dinosaurs and such things. And here Saint-Saëns quotes from six different pieces of music, including one of his own, Danse Macabre, which, as you may know, is about skeletons anyway. I'm sure you all know it. You remember this famous tune? Well, this tune is given to the xylophone, which is a perfect instrument for describing old, dry bones. The xylophone is being played by Tony Cirone, who is just 20 years old. No old fossil he. But then you will also hear quotes from French folk songs, like J'ai du bon tabac dans ma tabatière, j'ai du bon tabac, tu n'en auras pas. And out of that famous song, Saint-Saëns makes a canon, or a round, like Three Blind Mice or Frère Jacques, only with the second voice playing the tune upside down. Then immediately afterwards, the pianos play another canon based on another French folk tune. À vous dirai-je, maman, ce qui cause mon tourment. And here's how the canon sounds. And on top of that canon, the clarinet comes in with this well-known folk tune. Of course, you recognized that as Au clair de la lune. But there are even more quotes. The clarinet goes on with another old-fashioned French song that was popular at the time, called Going to Syria. And then, to top it off, this bit from Rossini's opera, The Barber of Seville. Why all those particular tunes? Because they're all famous old-timers, the best-known fossils of music. And here they all are, dancing around in their bones. Now we come to the most famous part of this carnival of the animals, the swan. Everybody knows this lovely melody, originally written for a solo cello. But this time we're going to hear it played on, of all things, the double bass, that heavy, clumsy instrument that we heard a few minutes ago describing elephants. But this is a double bass with a difference, a double bass that sings. And it is played by Gary Carr, who is already, at the age of 20, a master of this unlikely instrument. There are very few double bass players in the world who dare to play solos on their instruments, at least in public. Have you ever heard a double bass recital? Probably not. But every once in a while, someone comes along who bowls you over by being able to manage this ungainly instrument so that it really sings. And Gary Carr is one of these. I don't know when I've heard anything like it since the great conductor Serge Koussevitzky, who was my teacher and who was famous all over the world as a double bass soloist before he became a conductor. I believe that young Mr. Carr is on his way to being another Koussevitzky. And here he is, as graceful a swan as you will ever hear, gliding over the waters of the twin pianos.
Thank you.
And so we reached the end of our trip to the zoo with a brilliant, gay final dance in which several of the animals we've come to know get together in a can-can of their own. If you listen hard, you'll recognize the old lion from the beginning, those wild donkeys from Tibet, the Jigetai, a few hens and roosters, a kangaroo or two, and at the very end, you'll hear six wild hee-haws from those long-eared persons, as if they're saying, "Hee-haw, the jackass has the last laugh."
Leonard Bernstein, along with the New York Philharmonic, in Cezanne's Carnival of the Animals. That was Leonard Bernstein himself as the narrator. I'm Katie Henriksen. You're listening to Of Note on 91.3 KUAF. The Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra presents the Carnival of the Animals with a ballet production of Carnival of the Animals in collaboration with Northwest Arkansas Ballet Theater. Now, if you missed my interview with music director of APO, Stephen Bias, and artistic and executive director of Northwest Arkansas Ballet Theater, well, you can listen to it at our website. That's at KUAF.com. If you're interested in finding out more about tickets, arphil.org. That concert's at the Aaron Arts Center, 7:30 p.m. Saturday, April 15th. Really exciting collaboration. Lemonade Day is coming up. It's a national program that teaches entrepreneurship to children through their own small business, a lemonade stand. Brought to the region by Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northwest Arkansas, this no-cost 14-lesson curriculum is a great way to spend time with children, grandchildren, or youth groups while designing the ultimate lemonade stand for May 6th. nwa.lemonadeday.org for more information. Hard to believe it. I still have another hour to bring you handpicked compelling classical music. We will be turning to brand new music from pianist Simona Dinnerstein in the second hour off her new album, Mozart in Havana. Let's go first to music of Michael Nyman performed by pianist Valentina Lisitsa. We'll hear from the piano. The piece is called My Big Secret. We'll hear again pianist Valentina Lisitsa performing Michael Nyman.
Thank you.
From the piano, music by Michael Nyman. That was called Big, My Secret. We heard from pianist Valentina Lisitsa. I'm Katie Henriksen. You've been listening to Of Note 91.3 KUIF Public Radio Broadcasting from Fayetteville. We're on translator K203BO 88.5 in MENA. Artist Laboratory Theater presents a live recording of the All You Need to Know show featuring the topic of medicine this Sunday at 7 p.m. This vaudeville trivia talk show is a part of Sunday night service that you can hear on KUIF Public Radio. The lab is located at 1030 South College Avenue in South Fayetteville. ArtLabTheater.com for more information. Another exciting event happening at Artist Laboratory Theater this weekend, and you may have heard about it. I am a co-host of the Trillium Salon Series. We take classical music outside the concert hall into intimate settings. Saturday evening, we're presenting a screening of the silent film classic Metropolis, along with a live improvisational score from Ryan Cockerham, along with his Shadow Ensemble. That's a free event Saturday night at 8 p.m. So I hope you can join me. It's going to be amazing. I'm really quite giddy at having that so close, this grand experience. It's one of my favorite movies, and I can't wait to see what the Shadow Ensemble does with the scoring. Let's turn now to new music from Simona Dinnerstein. She's collaborated with the Havana Lyceum Orchestra, conducted by Jose Antonio Mendez Padron. We'll hear her in performance of Mozart's Piano Concerto 23 in A major.
Thank you.
Brand new music from pianist Simona Dinnerstein. Still just overjoyed that she's graced the piano here at KUAF. When she was in town presenting the Goldberg Variations at Walton Arts Center, she played from the Goldberg Variations and our very own Steinway piano here in the Furman Gardner Performance Studio. Always blown away by that moment. New music there from Simona Dinnerstein and her release, Mozart in Havana. She collaborates with the Havana Lyceum Orchestra led by Jose Antonio Mendez Padron. We heard Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 23 in A major. I'm Katie Henriksen. You've been listening to Of Note on 91.3 KUIF. 91.3 is offering you the chance to win two tickets to the 2017 Funkberry Music Festival, May 4th through the 6th on the farm in Eureka Springs. Acts include the Talking Heads tribute band Heartburn, Sons of Funk, a Parliament Funkadelic alumni reunion, One Ounce Jig, and more. Winners announced April 28th during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Registration and information available at KUAF.com. Habitat for Humanity's Dixon Street Spring Fest is this Saturday, April 15th. The day-long fundraiser includes a family-friendly beer garden and kids' zone, dog parade, a dance party, and more. Registration for the bed races with beds provided, as well as a 5K run and pub crawl, all available online or at the day of event. HabitatWashingtonCOAR.org/springfest for more information. Let's turn now to music of Joaquin Turina and one of his piano trios. This is his piano trio number 1 in D major, Opus 35. We'll hear from the Lincoln Trio.
Thank you.
Joaquin Turina and his Piano Trio No. 1 in D major. That's Opus 35 for Turina. We heard the Lincoln Trio. I'm Katie Henriksen. You've been listening to Of Note on 91.3 KUAF. I brought you 2 hours of handpicked compelling classical music, and we're about to wind it down. Let's turn back to more from Michael Nyman, performed by pianist Valentina Lisitsa. This is also from the piano. It's the seven-fingered fling. Thank you. music from Michael Nyman and the movie The Piano. That was Silver-Fingered Fling. I said Seven-Fingered Fling before when I announced the song. A little bit of a difference there. Silver-Fingered Fling. We heard from pianist Valentina Lisitsa. I'm Katie Henriksen. So glad you could join me in today's Of Note right here on 91.3 KUAF, broadcasting from downtown Fayetteville. You can keep up with all things Of Note. I am on social media. Go find me there. That's at Facebook, Of Note with Katie Henriksen. Also on Twitter, Of Note KUAF. Stay in touch with classical music here at KUAF, and also stay in touch with Arts Beats Features. Ashton Ely produced an Arts Beat feature about the Huge Lightning Comedy Festival for me that aired right at 8 o'clock this evening, and I post all of those stories and all the special interviews I have with all sorts of special guest artists and people who are putting out new albums, like Simona Dinnerstein. I've got an interview with her coming up at the end of the month. Those are all available by Facebook, Of Note with Katie Henriksen, and Twitter, Of Note KUAF. You can also keep up by going to our website. That's KUAF.com. I have full episodes streaming there at any time of Note, so maybe you're not interested in hearing the current events. Sometimes all I want to do is dwell on that music. I don't want to think about all the current events happening. It seems like there's more and more each and every moment, and I need some time to dwell on the music and just be as at one with the music, as they say. I know that's a little bit cheesy, but it's true. Dwell on that music for just a bit, get a reset, so you can have that moment for yourself. You can do that at KUAF.com. Coming up here on KUAF 91.3, lots more classical music, so stick around.